It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And I'm Megan Todd.
Yes, there is a third voice in the studio with us today, live and in person. Megan is our new person at Van Wee Financial, but I use that term somewhat advisedly because she spent a couple of summers interning with us, so she's not new to us. She'll be new to a lot of you folks. She has also been on this radio program before, and Megan has decided that she is going to take a stroll down the lane of becoming a CFP, and we're going to talk about how that's done today. And there's a reason we do this, because there is a dramatic shortage that is, it's already here, but it's going to get nothing but worse, because most of us are like me. They weren't born yesterday. And in fact, they weren't born the day before that either.
Well, and that's, to some degree, that's why we had to bring Megan in,
yeah.
Because we could talk about how to get a CFP, but we've forgotten most of it.
Well, I'll tell you, you do not have to be young to do this, and I don't know if it's a real qualification or if one's better than the other. But I was 51 when I got certified, but I had done a lot of other things. And Adam, you were what, mid-30s?
I took the exam in my late 30s, and I believe I got certified in my early 40s.
After having, again, done a lot of other things in private industry and so on. So we bring a lot of past knowledge to the table, but then again, we're just starting to get rolling at our ages now, and getting a head start would be really nice. And I've always made the argument that it's a difficult thing to get into, and Adam has been telling me over the last 2 or 3 years that that is improving. So for a younger person now to get an opportunity to get into this, I tell you, there's only three qualifications that I say somebody absolutely has to have to be happy doing what we do. You have to love people, money, and math. And if you strike out on any one of those three, go do something else.
Yeah, but it really is a soft skills type job. If you're not good with people, you probably will not succeed. Although there are back office jobs that you could do, but then you might not need the CFP. CFA would be a better
job. You'd get one of the more technical certifications. The reason you would want to get a CFP, the reason you would want to use a CFP, and we'll be talking about this today too, you like your accountant to be certified, don't you? If you have any kind of complexity in your financial life, you look for a CPA, a certified public accountant. Why not have your financial person, who is actually a lot more responsible for a lot more aspects of your future than your CPA is, why not have the C in CFP, Certified Financial Planner? So we'll get into all of that after the market wrap and so on. Anyway, for all of the regulars, welcome back. And the new people, if you just heard about us or found us by accident, stick around for the hour. You can listen to what we have to say, or if you would rather change the subject, it's as simple as picking up the phone and calling 904-222-TALK. That's 222-8255. We will have a trivia question, of course, and callers will always go to the front of the line. So with that said, we're going to break into some smiles here, because we're going to talk about the market this week. And this was one of those weeks that I can't define. It felt okay, and it wound up being okay, so I didn't really have a word of the week. Maybe you do.
It seemed like there was a little bit of a lack of volatility, even though the market went up and down. It wasn't wild swings. It wasn't some of the usual trading patterns that we're used to seeing. In fact, it was the opposite, with the NASDAQ actually going down and the other two indexes going up.
Seems to be a little sector rotation going on.
Definitely.
Some of the NASDAQ stocks got absolutely carried away, and I think it's setting up a buying opportunity for the tech sector.
Perhaps down the road. I mean,
I'm not ready yet.
It's still up a decent amount. I'll get to that in a minute. Yeah. But it was a little bit different than what we've seen recently. And one of the reasons is that was some big names reported earnings this week. And it so far, so good.
Yeah,
we saw Pepsi, Netflix, Goldman Sachs, and JP Morgan all reported. Just some names you might recognize.
Netflix laid a little bit of an egg. But it was perception more than numbers.
It was guidance, I think, that really brought the stock down. And that's one of those names that I've gotten.
Why did it go up? Because people were confined to their homes. Why is it not going up that fast anymore? Because people are starting to get out.
Yeah.
Duh.
Exactly. Let's see, 78% of companies beat on their earnings estimates so far, and 72% on revenue. And those numbers, if they keep up, would put this as one of the best quarters in recent history in terms of beat rates. But the trend is actually that they start high and come down.
And yes, and so, remember, this is very, very early in the earnings season. There haven't been that many. But so far, another stat in there, no one yet has lowered their guidance.
Which is remarkable.
It is.
Considering the weird times we're in. Although going into this earnings season, there, you know, the earnings are projected to be much lower than they were in previous quarters, recent quarters. So
expect nothing and get it.
Exactly. So if you can beat your really low estimate, you're going to look good.
Yep.
And we'll see how that shakes out. It's going to be very interesting. There's a ton of economic or of earnings data coming out over the next 3 weeks. So yep. It'll be very fun to watch.
It will, hopefully.
Yeah.
Be fun.
Well, the fun part, that might not be
accurate. Watching will be fun, hopefully. You haven't watched it. It'll still be fun.
So that good news from the earnings more or less translated into stocks this week as well. With the Dow rising 2.3%, the S&P was up 1.2%, and then the NASDAQ, which I mentioned, was down just 1.1%. Because of that dip, the NASDAQ is only up 17.1% this year.
Despite the fall earlier.
That's on a net. That includes going down in the first quarter, and then now it's up 17%. Hard to believe, really.
It is hard to believe.
The S&P is just slightly negative at -0.2%, and the Dow is lagging behind, down 6.5%. But not bad, considering we saw a bear market in the first quarter and a recession that ended the longest bull market on record.
It's hard to even tell this week. So yeah, it was the performer this week.
Despite the rebound in Q2 and now into Q3. The one area we're not really seeing the rebound in is small and mid-cap stocks. And I should be more clear. We're seeing a rebound, but not back to the previous highs like we are in the NASDAQ and to some degree in the S&P 500. It's not just the U.S. A similar pattern is taking place in Europe. Larger stocks are leading the way out of this recession, while some of the smaller companies are still recovering, but just not at the same rate. I still think there's some logic to that, though. Think about the large cap names that come to mind if you think about U.S. stocks right now. Amazon, Apple, Google, Facebook. All those companies are somewhat uniquely positioned to take advantage of an economy like this, even though all the upheaval.
They don't depend on hundreds of little stores around the country or even a single or a few stores for people to have to go to support them.
The only one that has that even is Apple, and they're not even really fully dependent on those stores.
There's some ridiculously low number, like I don't know, $5 billion or $10 billion or something that the stores account for,
right?
Which when you're talking about Apple is not a great big deal.
No, I mean, that in itself would be a pretty big company if it were independent, but when you look at the overall size of the Apple company, it's nothing.
It does, however, change things a lot, I think.
In what way?
It changes the image of Apple when people can go see all this stuff in one place. Who doesn't love going into the Apple store?
They are very popular, no doubt about it.
Megan's shaking her head.
I don't like going just because there's too many people there normally. But
But now they got to be limiting the number of people that come in. It could be a great time to go visit if you're into this stuff. Yeah. And the new product line is starting to come out, too. All right, we're going to pay some bills in a few seconds here and then come back and we'll introduce the trivia question and we'll start talking about some other things. But I did want to mention that Apple won their $14.7 billion tax case in the EU, actually in Ireland, but from the EU, and I could not possibly be happier. So how about that? All right, we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And I'm Megan Todd.
And we have trivia question brought to you, as usual, by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. You can call Ken at 904-636-7888. The question, I didn't print it out, so I guess we won't do that question.
All right, an old
question. Maybe I'll remember later. What's been the best performing commodity so far this year, and how has it done? So, commodities are all those things, metals and foods and pork bellies and on and on and on. So that will have to do for today. I'll look it up in the break. Anyway, we have Bob on the phone, and as we've always said, they go to the head of the line. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Steve and Adam. And Megan, how are you?
Just fine. Thank you. Excellent.
We're doing good.
Well, I'm going to make the case for CFPs. I'm looking forward to hearing you guys talk about how to become one. A friend sent me an article from the Wall Street Journal on, it was 7/15. It was called "The Biden Tax Hikes Would Be Severe."
Oh, yeah.
And this thing scares the bejeebies off of me because they talk about the triple whammy. It's an opinion article, so I wanted to get your opinion on it. You know, the triple whammy, he's going to cut state tax exemption in half, eliminating capital gains reset to fair market value, then doubling the capital gains tax rate, reinstating the Obama tax rates. There's just a whole bunch of stuff that is on the horizon in 2025 and 26 that would make the case for anybody to certainly get a hold of you guys and sit down eyeball to eyeball and come up with some plans. It's a scary article. I don't know if you guys had a chance to take a look at it or not, but you know, from a planning standpoint, I think it's going to dovetail with what you guys are going to talk about today. So.
Well, let's start with one fundamental thing. A, he has to be elected, which I see absolutely no possibility of it personally.
What? You can't say that.
Well, I can say whatever I want.
You can, my show. But that's just
that's
false.
Your show, but.
That's false. I mean, he definitely has a chance.
I do not think so, personally. But I am the one who is paid relatively well to be the cockeyed optimist. And if I were any of you, I wouldn't listen to me.
Yeah, he has a very good chance. But no one knows which way the election's going to go at this point. So you have to consider it.
Yeah, but what would it take to get any one of those things done? The House and the Senate. So you've now taken the remote possibility. Let's say you've taken the possibility that they win the White House. Now you have to add in the possibility that they'll keep the House and the possibility that they'll win the Senate. And I see some of the elections like the preliminaries down in Alabama that are looking pretty strong. If they took the Senate away, it would change my planning perspective by a lot.
Sure.
If we take the House away, it's going to change it even more because they'll get so aggressive.
Yeah,
but Biden himself, as president, could not do any of this alone.
Well, the article states that all they need is 3 Senate seats to flip and him being elected. Now, I don't think that's going to happen, but still,
yeah,
there's scary things on the horizon. So.
Yeah, there might be some people out there that are going to do some surprising things, too. I'd keep my eye on Michigan. That looks like a pickup for us. Alabama looks like a pickup. So you got to go through all this. But let's make the assumption that this happened, and that's what you really want to talk about. What if, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
From a planning standpoint, there are 2 aspects of it. How much money can you keep, and how aggressively would you like to invest? So
right.
I would say that if all this were to happen, the aggressive investor is in for some short-term pain. You agree with me, Adam?
Yeah, I think that the market would not react well to a sweep. A Democratic sweep in November, for sure. So that's something that we're thinking about and talking about with our clients daily these mm-hmm. days. I think it's a bit early to start reacting because you really don't know which way it's going to go. But usually the best outcome is a stalemate in Washington, no matter who's the president, having at least one, either the House or the Senate on the other side, is a good thing for the country because then nothing gets done. Businesses can figure out how to make money despite the chaos in Washington. And that's been the case for quite a while now. And it's worked out pretty well for us. So as long as it looks like we're going to maintain some sort of balance in Washington, I try not to worry about it too much because it really has, historically it says that is going to be good for the country.
The unfortunate thing for people like us is that we know the fundamental rules of trying to time the market. And I believe that taking an election result and doing something dramatic about it is actually timing the market.
Yeah, definitely.
The Democrats will always tell you that the market does better under Democrats. And if you do a timeline that has to do with inauguration day to inauguration day, they're right. But if you phase that timeline over a year, because it takes economic policy a year to do anything, if you offset that, then you'll find that Republicans actually repair the damage that the Democrats did And when the Democrats come in, they undo the good that the previous Republican did. So those things are very difficult to figure. But market timing historically over a long period of time is only worth about 2 or 3% of your overall return. The market tends to go up. Now, I use this analogy all the time. I ask people, remember when Ronald Reagan was first inaugurated, January 20th of 1981? Sure, most of them our age remember it really well. It was a great day. But then I say, what was the Dow Jones Industrial Average that day? And you'll get guesses from anywhere to anywhere, thousands and thousands to very small numbers. It was 954. Now, what have we gone through since 1981? Well, the crash of 87 and 9/11 and on and on and on. And the Dow sits today at 26.6 or something,
26.6.
And we, despite all of that, we had a 55% drop in the S&P along the way in 07. And yet, look at it. It reached a new high not long ago, and it's fighting to get back there right now. So if you have a long-term view in the market, then the smart thing to do most of the time is nothing. Plan first, invest, hold. But you better have 5 or more years to do it, or you're going to wind up shooting yourself in the foot.
Where it really is where the tax rates rising is really going to affect us is in tax planning, obviously,
yes.
And estate planning. So there would be a lot more
income planning, too. And I would think that would be a big reason to do a lot more Roth IRAs and Roth conversions, especially if you knew the tax rates were going up. I would do a lot of Roth converting this year.
Definitely.
So then you had it available for next year. So there are a lot of things to do and a lot of reasons to do them and a lot of reasons not to do them. And that makes this a very difficult scenario or difficult question to be very succinct with.
The only people that it would benefit if this were to happen would be lawyers, accountants, and financial planners. I mean, I don't see any benefit to the individual taxpayer. I don't see any benefit to the country because it's not going to be used to pay down the debt. It's going to be used to expand massive social programs of one sort or another. Mm-hmm. Now, you could argue that there will be some good created by that, but because it's run through government, the waste will be excessively high, so it won't be as efficient as if it was run through a private mode of transferring those social programs. So in all, I think that the only people that benefit are the ones who are going to be working on planning for not paying as much taxes as possible.
Let's take it another step in the macro sense, too. If you think the deficits are bad now, let's blow a couple trillion on the green plan and things like that. That we are so in over our heads already, which is, you know, historically, you look back, why did they create the Fed? Because they needed more money, right? So where do you get money? Out of thin air, from the Fed. Without the Fed, we would have had to curtail spending. Well, how much more fiat money can you produce and keep the economy running? I don't know. I really don't know. So far, so good.
We might find out.
You know, who was it? I think it was Warren Buffett said just in the last couple of weeks, the U.S. will never default. Why? Because we'll just print more money. And he's exactly right.
Not wrong. Yeah.
No. You know, he's not doing all that well right now, although he made another good decision this week.
Buying his own stock.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Finally found something worth buying.
Well, Bob, did we answer your question more or less?
Yeah, you guys did really good. Yeah, I don't see it happening, but it just makes the case for your guys' service. I mean, in the event that things do happen, plus, the Trump tax thing expires 2025.
That's right.
So, anyhow, enjoy the program.
Thank you. There is, by the way, a proposal in for a new round of tax changes, and if that's not in there, I will personally go beat up Mitch McConnell. We got to make those things permanent so that they can undo them by doing something instead of undoing them by doing nothing, which is the way it's set up right now.
Hit him in the nose and kick him in the pants.
We will. Just remember, vote often.
That's right. Bye.
Thanks for the call.
We appreciate it very much. All right, Mike, and if you can hang on through the break, we've only got a few seconds, and we'll take you right afterwards. That topic is a big one, of course.
It is. It's something we think about and talk about a lot in our office. And gosh, it's not pleasant to anyone to think about tax rates going back up to where they were 4 years ago.
No, it's not. And even though I hate to sound like this because it sounds like I'm not mercenary enough to me, but I don't want this to happen just because it's good for financial planners.
No, no.
Because financial planners are actual people, too, and they pay actual tax bills, too. So, on balance, I like it the other way. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
I'm Adam Van Wee.
And I'm Megan Todd.
And I am about to briefly run over the trivia question because we do have a caller, and in case he's asking, what has been the best performing commodity for the year 2020 so far? Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, gentlemen, and Megan.
Hello.
Hello.
Kind of fun having a third voice, isn't it?
Yes.
What's up today?
What can you say? We're in trying times. I believe this election in November will be the most important since Lincoln versus, what's that gentleman?
Lincoln
General and McClellan in 1864.
Yeah. No one ever remembers the loser,
nope,
do they?
They don't.
Yeah, he would have, I think McClellan would have made a deal with the southern states.
Probably.
But in any case, it is trying times. I watched them in the guise of protesting police brutality, which definitely happened in Minnesota, even though I support the police, almost being a policeman myself back in New York in 1971. In the guise of a serious protest, I watched them practically burn down my neighborhood in the Lower East Side around Union Square. So
wow,
we're in trying times.
Yep, that's where it hits you in the wallet, isn't it?
Exactly. You know, it's just a lack of leadership I think we have now that I never saw before.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Anyhow, not to take up too much of your time, I'm going to take a crack at the trivia question, if you'll allow. I'm going to go with the commodity of iron ore.
Well, that is a good one, and it has been good, but it is not the answer. There's kind of a surprising thing that's going on out there, and you'll figure out what that means as soon as I'm able to bring it up.
Very good.
We appreciate it very much. Thank you.
All right. Have a great day, gentlemen, and keep up the great program.
Thanks for your
Thanks
call,
so
Mike.
Much.
Appreciate it.
All right. Take care.
All right. So you think you want to be a CFP someday, huh? What you going to do about it? As I am talking to you.
Oh, well, of course. I mean, there's a lot of different routes that you can go through. Schooling-wise, I started with, you know, getting my business undergrad, and then I went straight to my master's.
Yeah, what's changed since I started this, and I think even Adam, by the time you got in, did you need a college degree by then?
Yes.
Okay, we didn't back in my case. I had a couple of them, but we didn't need them then, and you do now, so you might as well go get yourself a degree, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's ways you can do it, just kind of like add-on classes at the same time that you're getting your BA or BS, depending
you're
on...
You're talking about the classes needed for the CFP.
Yeah,
yeah, it's a
the
very
classes.
Specific curriculum, and it has to be approved by the board, right?
Correct.
I'm
actually going through the University of Georgia right now, and they
okay,
have...
Okay, but Sarah was asking me yesterday if I knew where you were taking this, and I said, no, I really don't.
I want to talk more about that, but I did want to mention that we are really fortunate here in Jacksonville. We have an excellent degree program at the Coggins School of Business at UNF that actually allows you to study financial planning as your degree within the business school.
About saving time and killing
and
two
there,
birds.
There aren't that many undergrad or even colleges across the country that have a program and not one as good as the one we have locally. So if you are interested, UNF is an excellent option. And especially if you're young and thinking about getting into this type of business, it's a great option for you.
I did mention the demographics age-wise of CFPs and how so many of us are getting toward the end of the line. But the other thing I didn't mention was I think there's only 28% are female. And there's an awful lot of people out there. Remember, females control about 52% of the wealth in this country. And there's a lot of women who would prefer to deal with a female.
How much did that percentage go up when Jeff Bezos got divorced?
Oh, gosh, it's hard to say. He's still the richest guy in America.
Anyway,
give away $35 billion.
It's crazy.
Yeah. But we digress.
Back to what we're talking about.
I don't even want to be his financial planner. I don't have that much time left.
How did you come to pick the University of Georgia and why?
So Google's your best friend, especially in my generation. Sure. Went through and compared the pass rate percentage for their curriculum to who's going to actually pass the CFP exam. Compared pricing, compared what actually came with the courses, if books were included, if extra study time was in,
a review class.
The review class prior to the exam. And just kind of ended up, it was kind of between, I think, Kaplan and University of Georgia, and Georgia beat them out by a landslide when it came to, that dollar.
So, oh, well.
That's important.
If you're going to be one, you might as well start practicing, right?
Yes, practice what you preach.
Yep. Yeah, no doubt about it. And I've heard really good things about the Georgia program. Both my dad and I did our classes online through Florida State University. But that there was a lot less options back then. Now there is a ton of options. And the fact that they include it? They include a review program?
No, they don't. What they actually end up doing is when you're going through all of these classes, they keep score of what you're doing well in and what you're not. And then they can design a review course to go over your weaknesses and everything. And then that's something additional that you would purchase.
Gotcha. Yeah, we also took what was our review program?
Kenzon.
The Kenzon. That's what I was trying to think of.
He's been doing this forever. He's out of Tampa. There are other people who do it. I don't know. We used to have a good one here. I don't know if he still does that anymore.
Well, there's a Zon employee locally who actually taught the class that I took. He's a local financial planner. Yeah. And I think he's still teaching, or if they're still doing the review courses, I'm not sure during these crazy times. But
okay, so you need an undergrad degree, which you can get at the same time if you play cards right, if you're really young. And you're going to have to wind up with that. How much experience are you going to have directly?
I'm going to have 3 years working under a CFP prior to my getting activated.
That's a whole topic for another day.
How
do you get into a firm like ours or a bigger one? But what are the disciplines that you have to study?
So the University of Georgia breaks it down into, I want to say seven. Well, it is seven sections, but it's really six, in my opinion.
Plus an aggregate.
Yeah. So you have fundamentals of financial planning, then you go into insurance planning, investment, income tax, retirement, and estate, and then that seventh class is developing a financial plan.
Now, that tells everybody listening one thing. Those of us who are already certified have studied all this stuff, and we can talk conversantly about it. We are not tax planners, and we are not attorneys, and we don't practice that. But we coordinate everything, and we help you with the planning for these things so that we can then work with your professionals to get it done. So it's about a lot more than just what do you want to put in the stock market.
Yeah, exactly. It's a lot of making sure that your clients are well-rounded and set up for whatever goals that they want to meet. If it's possible, they have to be achievable goals.
Yeah.
And then that last class, that's interesting. We didn't have to do that class.
No, that's
really?
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about that.
So from my understanding, I haven't gotten that far yet. I'm still in insurance. Developing the financial plan is you take everything that you've learned and you, I guess they're going to give, like I said, I haven't checked it out just yet. I will either create an individual or they will give me specs on an individual. And then I have to come up with a financial plan for whatever they are wanting
to accomplish. So it's art imitating life.
Exactly. Just not with a real person or real money.
A lot of financial planning is an art form.
Exactly.
Although we stress the mathematics of it, that's the science part. But the dealing with the people part and dealing with the goals part is definitely an art.
I would agree. And I'm actually really happy with the University of Georgia and the way that they've set it up just because they have I'm doing it online, but they have instructor recorded sections that I can go over, but they also have some live sessions I can do. And it speaks a lot of volume when their pass rate is 83% when the national average is only 60%.
Yeah, that's really good.
So, yeah, I'm really happy with how it's going so far.
That's excellent. Did you have to – now, was there any criteria for you to be admitted to the program? Did you have to interview?
Credit card couldn't bounce.
Yeah, pretty much that. I talked to one of the advisors, and wasn't a lot to it as long as I could prove.
They'll let you in as long as you have the college degree.
Well, but even if you don't have the college degree, as long as you're getting the college degree within the 21-month time frame, because I get unlimited access to all of it for 21 months.
Gotcha.
All right, Bosco's on the line, but we're down to about 30 seconds. Can I ask you to hold on, Bosco, and we'll pick you up right after the break? I'm just curious. I got a more or less personal question. How are you liking the insurance course?
It actually makes more sense to me than the student financial planning section with, like, creating financial portfolios and stuff for, like, the 529 and the...
The reason I asked is that everybody hates to talk about insurance. You know, the eyes roll up into the head thing, and people tend to go away. I thought it was fascinating.
It's actually pretty cool, yeah.
It is. All right, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Vanway Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Vanway Financial Hour. I'm Steve Vanway.
And I'm Adam Vanway.
And I'm Megan Todd.
And this segment sponsored by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance. You can call Troy at 662-9794 and let him do the work. Good morning, Bosco.
Hello, hello, y'all.
How you doing?
Good question. I'm getting better, getting better. I love this Oregon weather, 55 to 60. It's fabulous, you know.
That really where you are?
Yes, Coos Bay area, North Bend, Oregon.
Just stay out of downtown Portland. You're good.
I'm with you on that. my question is: do you see with a lot of your clients and portfolios that they're asking for stocks that are biblically correct and or socially correct, and do you see an uptick in that?
Absolutely.
And you do?
Yes.
Do you see a lot of the stock companies that are conforming, you know, because they see, well, we've got more people, you know, that are going to buy our stocks?
Yep. That has definitely been a trend. And ironically, I put together what's called an ESG portfolio, and that's environmentally and socially responsible type companies, and it doesn't include oil companies. And ironically, it was our best performing portfolio this year so far.
Because it didn't have demand, doesn't it?
Well, no, because it didn't have oil. I mean, let's break it down. Oil's been the worst. Energy's been the worst performing sector in the S&P, and this portfolio doesn't hold it. So sometimes you win
sometimes
by
you
just getting lucky.
Sometimes the bear eats you.
But yes, it's been something that we're getting more. It's not a lot of people requesting them at this point, and that might have something to do with our particular client base. But we are getting more and more requests for it, and it's. I mean, it's definitely a trend that is happening in the millennial generation. Or
in the trade journals, those articles are all over the place.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And it's being, I should say, it's being driven by millennials, but it's popular at every age group at this point. I mean, there are boomers who want socially responsible portfolios as well.
Mm-hmm. So. Absolutely.
Right, right.
Well, I'm curious why you're asking.
Excuse me?
I'm just curious why you're asking.
Well, I'm with an individual who does only the religiously responsible, and you know, within his stock groups that he picks, he's got some solid Caterpillar, for instance, you know, solid stocks in there, you know, that don't, you know, and on the flip side of the coin, he used to have McDonald's, but he dropped McDonald's because they decided to support abortion.
Right.
Now, how many people would know that, you know, that McDonald's supported, you know, that, you know, I mean, and who would be eaten thereafter, you know. Mm-hmm. But, it's just curious. And another little interesting thing, back with the energy, which I know, yes, is suffering. You ever get a chance to watch that Michael Moore flick, you'll see that, you know, a lot of people are fluffing the fact that they're going to the green energy, you know, the solar, the wind, mm-hmm. and what have you. But it is always backed up by not gas,
yeah. Right.
Gas,
mm-hmm. right?
You know, because it's real big now, so plentiful, you know.
Yeah,
and It's just interesting, you know.
It is a lot of new trends coming out in investing, and if you can dream it up, there's probably an ETF for it at this point, because there's a niche ETF for everything these days.
Yep. As a general principle, I believe in the separation of church and state. I do not like to tailor what I do, except at the request of the client. You always honor the client's request if you can.
And if I could just put all my money in Chick-fil-A, I would. Because that company, I never drive by one where there isn't a line of cars.
You can buy a franchise.
That's true.
But it's going to cost you.
Yeah.
And you better be prepared to be the on-site manager.
Mm-hmm. At the same time, you have to educate the client, you know.
Yep.
Which is, you know, so important, you know, because, you know, I'm naive as they come, you know, but and working with this individual and his group, you know, you learn so much, you know, and, you know, therefore advance yourself and, you know, and your investment and, you know, so much more of your life, you know.
Bosco, is that financial planner? Is that what he does? Is that his, does he only target clients who want to be invested in biblically correct companies? Is that his business?
Yes, he's been a money manager. He's a behavioral economist.
Okay.
And he's been doing this all of his life. And he got that point where he said he wanted to give back, but he's very religiously inclined. He does the talk radio from 9 to 12. I pick it up there in Jacksonville.
Oh, I know down there. About. Sure.
Okay. Yeah, so... you know, I mean, you know, it's true to the heart. I listened to him for several years, you know, before I considered going with him because, you know, it's too good to be true.
Right.
That thing, you know. And then, you know, for the amount of money that he wants for a year, which is $85, you know, times 12, you know, I mean, you burn that up in a year.
Yep, easily.
Yeah, you know, no kidding. That's it sounds like a pretty good deal then. I mean,
there's something for everybody out there. There's no doubt about it.
No doubt.
Did you want to take a shot at the trivia before we go?
I did not hear the trivia.
What is the
question?
What commodity is leading as far as performance for this year so far? And well, it's not iron ore.
I would like to say copper.
Actually, copper is doing really well, but that's not it.
Yeah. Or some of the precious metals.
They're doing well, too, but it's still not it.
Good guess, though. Well, thanks for your call, Bosco.
Thanks,
that was a great call.
Enjoy that weather out there, because it's a little warmer here.
I'm with you, baby. It's not the heat, but the moisture.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
And we got it.
Yeah.
All right. Take care of yourself.
Exactly.
Thanks for the call.
All right. Thank you.
By the way, Adam, have you forgotten that maybe you would like to say, wish someone a happy birthday or something like that?
Yeah. Oh, my wife.
Oh,
yeah.
That one. Yeah. Your first one.
My only
one. Which better damn well be your only one.
Yeah. No, happy birthday. She is, I will not say how old she is, but happy birthday to
her. Well, from your father-in-law and who he represents also, I texted her early this morning.
Yeah, she told me.
But, and I don't have your number, but happy birthday as well.
There you go. All right, back to CFP stuff. The reason I brought up the...
We actually have a caller.
Oh, excuse me. Oh, good. Leroy, what's happening?
Yes, sir. Not a lot. Hey, my guess would be coffee.
That actually is not right.
Well, that's not usually what you give me as an answer. You usually tell me that's a good guess, but you're wrong.
Well, it has a relationship.
It does.
So it is a good guess in that respect.
I was going to guess gold, but you said it wasn't.
It's doing well, but it's not doing this well.
All right. Okay. Thanks.
Take care of yourself.
You guys have a good day.
Thanks.
Okay.
Thanks. Well, the reason I brought up insurance, that was the thing I was probably least looking forward to in the whole thing. And when I started learning about it, it was absolutely fascinating. I told Megan there's a book called Risk, and the development, the history of risk, basically. And it tells everything from a bunch of guys sitting around a bar in London centuries ago, actually, and discussing the probability that their ship was going to reach America or come back without sinking. And it all started there. But even past that, from a personal standpoint, it you know, I think I was talking a couple of weeks ago. If you're talking about life insurance risk, it's the risk of death. And if you're talking about health insurance and you're talking about the risk of getting sick, there's so many forms of risk. And risk is a direct contributor to success in investing. So I'm really happy to see that you're enthusiastic about it, because you're just scratching the surface of a very interesting topic that no one wants to talk about.
Yeah, I think it's one of the largest sections I'm going to be going through. So it's very detailed, and I'm just starting it, so I'm getting there.
You're going to find out things that you never dreamed would be interesting, that they are. All right, since we're kind of wrapping up here for today, thanks to all the callers. We really love you guys calling in. We'll get Megan back as frequently as she'll consent to do it, and as time goes along. And I'd like to kind of tap into each of the courses that you're taking and discuss them a little bit along the way.
Sure.
So that people who are actually thinking about doing this someday might get a pretty good idea of what it takes, and they might even get enthusiastic. Well, congratulations, Florida! The number one commodity so far in 2020 is orange juice.
Crazy.
Which is up by about a third and compares to coffee at minus 24.6.
Interesting.
So it looks like we've changed breakfast beverages to me. You had the right idea, anyway. All right, we'll see you all next week. Thanks for listening. And there will be another Van Wee Financial Hour at the same time.